もわらにかむずまりますかむろぎかむろみのみこともちてめみおやかむいざなぎのみことくしのひむかのたちばなのどのあはぎはらにとぎはらいたまいしときにあれませるはらえどのおかみたちもろもろのまがことすみけがりをはらえたまいえきよめたまえと申すことのよしをあまつかみくにつかみやおよろずのかみたちともにおしめてと、しこみかしこみもまおす。
Listening to DJ Demaru with Evolution Revolution. I started the morning with a prayer, a misogi prayer with water. I have been frequenting or going to or discovering a Shinto temple here in Canada, and I'm now even working with the Shinto. The sound seems a little low. Is that better? Okay. I think that's good. All right. So, yeah, the first song was a Misogi prayer, which is a Shinto practice of standing under a waterfall or jumping in the ocean. And the second track was Dirty Projector with Bjork, a very fun show that was recorded, I think, last year. You're listening to DJ Demaru, Evolution Revolution. Will mostly be playing music today. We might talk a little bit about Shintoism and Buto, the dance form from Japan.
Thank you.
We just heard Chapelier Fou, a musician I discovered while learning on the Octatrack. And yeah, he plays violin too and has reference to Alice in Wonderland. So how not to love? And the second track was from John Hopkins, Open Eyes, Signal. This is an album, a remastered album that you can find on bleep.com. So how did I come across Shintoism? Well, Shinto is an interesting religion, if you want to call that. It's it was the, I would say, probably the shamanic root of religion in Japan. And as Buddhism came in, they have to kind of find their own name to be defined as, you know, not this other thing, but to be, you know, have its own unity. So Shintoism was born a little bit out of the desire to define this native religion of Japan compared to other religions so that it would have a name. And that explained a little bit how Shintoism, it feels like it's more of a way of living or an idea or a thought, and it's not so much of a religion in the strict sense of things. It's quite nature-oriented. It's about being in the forest, being in the water, and there are deities and a cosmogony of Shintoism that is very colorful and very nice and fun to learn and discover. But Shintoism is quite embedded in Japanese tradition. Once you start learning more about Shintoism, you start seeing all these symbols and all these names and colors and patterns all around, from watching a Studio Ghibli movie to other cartoons, or it seems like the Shintoism is really at the foundation of the culture. And yeah, it was by luck, I would assume, that I ended up on a island, Knipe Island, that is near Victoria, just on the other side of Vancouver, where a beautiful temple has been built for the Shinto lineage. It's a very old lineage. With Shintoism, there's no like centralized pope of Shintoism, or there's no centralized authority behind it. But you have these different lineage or school, or they call them shrine. And the shrine that I went to is affiliated with that shrine in Japan, and that's been going on for hundreds of years, passing on the shrine care from family members to family members. And it's sometime when you learn from one lineage and then you go to a different lineage of yoga or Buddhism or meditation, it feels almost like you're kind of a cheating on your first religion type of thing. It's like, oh no, I'm a Catholic, or oh no, I'm this, so I cannot meditate in Buddhism. But with the Shinto, there's this kind of background reality that makes you want to do some ceremony, Misogi being one of them, and then there are many more ritual. And it feels like Shinto installs itself as kind of just a way of living. You're listening to DJ Damaru with Evolution Revolution. And yeah, this was Amon Tobin is No Mark Select V1. I think these are remaster or no, that's the new album. There's a lot of remastering lately. But yeah, Amon Tobin. Redshift with his latest album, No Mark Select V1, probably from bleep.com again. So yeah, I discovered Shintoism not too long ago, and I've been quite really enjoying, and there's not a lot of read about Shintoism, and it's really more about waking up and going to cleanse in the water and then looking at the sun. And these are all type of gods in the pantheon of Shintoism, the kami. But the kami are not the teacher, the priest there, she was kind of wary of calling them gods or goddesses, as they're more the embodiment of certain life energy. So to give them a flag of God and goddesses changes, I think, a little bit. It's kind of the easiest way to describe what that could be. But from reading and observing, I would say if you look at the Tao Te Ching, for example, the Taoism cosmogony, so the way Taoist view reality and explain what the Tao is, the Tao, the Tao. I'm not too sure how to pronounce it actually, but Taoism or Taoism, it's we need to speculate that I'll say Taoism. And this view of Taoism, this flow of thing, this flow of energy, how the Tao is explained, I would see Shintoism being the kami, these what is called deities, these kami would be just different different values or different kind of a separation of, like, if you were to split the Tao in multiple personalities, then you would have the kami. In Kashmir Shaivism, you have a similar understanding of reality, of the one becoming the two, becoming the three, and then it splits consciousness or Bhairava in all these different concepts. And kami, the so-called gods of Shintoism, I think it's very close to that idea of separating consciousness or Bhairava or reality in all these different symbolic. So they're very colorful, the kami, and they're fun to learn about too. They're just mythical and ancient, and sometime reminding of more of a Mayan ideology, or sometime more reminding of a Buddhist ideology. So it's very colorful, and it's, I don't know, there's something very comfortable in Shintoism, where you know, there's music, there is a lot of symbolism with and the elements of nature. And interestingly, I've also discovered in the last few weeks Buto, which is a Japanese dance. It has nothing to do with Shintoism, but everything to do with it at the same time.
Thank you.
This was James Adrian Brown with the song Dreaming Deep River. You're listening to DJ Demaru with Evolution Revolution. We're live from Kootenai Lake on anonradio.net, which is supported, hosted, worked through sdf.org. SDF is a public Unix access server, so big machine that a lot of people can connect to, and most of the service are for free or for a small donation or yearly, very short donation. It's pretty fun, nice community. That's pretty much the only web that I consume these days, Gopher and the chat in Anon Radio. So if you want to come and chat, it's so difficult. You gotta open an account at sdf.org, and then you have to use the client, which is a software, to SSH into sdf.org, and then it's not done. You have to use your keyboard and type com, and then you're in a chat that's really hard to use. And then from there, you have to join the Anon Radio room. It's, it's not for the faint of heart. But anyway, that's where we go to chat. Most of the time, we chat about anything else than the radio show that's playing. And sometimes we chat about the radio show itself. So, from Shintoism to Buto, completely different reality here. Buto is invented after the Second World War in Japan, while Shintoism is... No, I'm not trying to scare people to log in to come. It's just some non-tech people have asked me before, and I was like, oh yeah, it's easy-ish. You could open an account and then do this and this and that. It's for technical people, it's kind of very simple and exciting, but if it's the first time you do it, it's a little scary, like many things in lives. Shinto has been existing in Japan forever, and Buto has been existing in Japan since World War II. So very different structure, very different ideas. I feel Shinto Buto has been kind of a response to World War II, the suffering and the human suffering in a very deep way. The practitioner of Buto often will be half naked, painted in white, some similar to ghosts or white hashes, and perform structure of dance that are very different and very somewhat painful to watch even. A lot of the practitioner of Buto have been kind of going deep inside of the sensations of the body and the emotion, calling the Buto an expression of the subconscious part of the body. So we have our conscious mind and then the unconscious that we're not aware of most of the time. Through therapy or hypnosis, we get through that subconscious part of ourself, or through trance or drumming or meditation. And Buto, and I'm not sure if it's more of a modern take on Buto or kind of the evolution of Buto, or simply a few of the student and teacher of Buto who has been taking that sub-body or kind of subconscious, but for the body aspect of Buto. but it resonates quite a lot with my own understanding, interpretation, and my own desire about discovering Bhutto. So by being able to tap into that unconscious of the body, expression can come up of that. But as you can figure it out, expression of the unconscious of the body will take dreamlike or nightmare-like shapes and forms, therefore not always creating a very aesthetic dance. Thank you. This was the wonderful Brain Waltzera, the waltz of the brain, I think. You're listening to DJ Demaru Evolution Revolution 107th live show, 107 live show. That's fun. I like that. I just past the 100 show, it doesn't feel like long ago, but I guess that's four weeks ago now, a month. We're talking about Shintoism and Buto, two things that don't really mix, I would assume, but both of them have a very, I don't know, there's a something very similar between Shintoism and Buto, not at all in their aesthetic. It's completely, extremely different on their aesthetic, but somehow in the quest of regaining connection to the, I don't know how to explain, but connecting back to the Tao, if you want, connecting back to the insight in energy, connecting back to a deeper understanding of reality. I don't know. I'll have to write more about that connection between Shinto and Budo, because they've kind of arrived in my life at a very similar time, and as extremely different they are, they kind of seek the same. And Buto is a dance, and I like dancing. Last show I talked about my history, my personal history of discovering dance, as I wasn't raised in a dancing family. I have a friend who's Indian, and we went to a wedding of them, and the whole family were dancing around the tables, and I was like, oh my god, there are a culture that dance as a family, like it's an activity in their family. I thought it was so sweet. And also I felt deprived of, why don't we dance more? Like, why, what is that thing with dancing and white people? Why do white people don't dance? I want to dance. I'm not from a dancing culture or dancing family for the fun of it. So Buto as a dance, I like the idea of the dance, and I like the kind of the research, the deep body connection. In my yoga training throughout the years, I came across body sensing yoga. My first yoga teacher, actually, she was teaching body sensing yoga mostly, which is a different form of yoga where you go very deep inside the sensations of the body to kind of dissolve your reality, the inside and the outside. So by feeling deeply what's happening inside the body and on the outside and the skin and just like your relationship with reality, there's a bit of a dissolution of your own self into that reality. Kind of when you observe an object for a very long time, you become that object at a certain point. There's a kind of a connection or a dissolution of the self into what is being observed. And that's meditation kind of layer, or you get to that level of meditation at one point, and it's like, oh yeah, I've experienced that. So it's not super easy to describe. But once you live it, you're like, oh yeah, that kind of dissolution. So by bringing the focus of the body into the sensations of the inside, the outside, and the surrounding, you melt yourself into that reality. And that's, well, for me, the goal or the interpretation or the process of body sensing. Now, in Buto, I don't think that was the initial kind of idea of Buto. But by studying different teachers and different lineage, I started to see that there was a lot of that kind of research of this inside vibration that non-dual self, that part of yourself that's already dissolved into Bhairava, or that, you know, consciousness that's from a tantric or a Buddhist, Kashmir Shaivanism is a wording here, the Bhairava or the consciousness. But in Bhutto, certain teachers have come to that place of observing inside deep enough to find a place of expression that defies the conscious mind, the logical mind, and things like that. So I find that Bhutto is by itself a kind of a spiritual or exploration of reality. That's how I take it. That's how I want to use it. That's how we'll see, you know, how far I go with that. And because of that kind of quest of a very pure place, not a pure hidden place in the body, I see that Shintoism would be this kind of union with nature, and then Bhutto would be kind of this research from within. Let's go super old school here with Yes and Close to the Edge.